It is Monday night. It is August 19th, 2024. Episode 405 of the Tan and J-Man Show is live on the ISC Sports Network, on the ISC Sports Network YouTube channel, on the ISC Sports Network X page, as well as the Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page. Hope everybody's having a fantastic start to their week. How we doing, J-Man?
I'm doing all right there, T-Dog. How you doing?
Doing good. It's week zero. College football. Yeah. We actually have meaningful football to watch this week. I know we've had the NFL preseason the last few weeks. That's been all fine and dandy, but it's got me pretty pumped up that we got meaningful college football this week. Of course, a ton of college football starting next week as week one starts, and that this week is the last week of the NFL preseason. So finally starting to get into the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that there was I think this Saturday starts a string of 45 straight Saturdays with at least college football, college basketball, college baseball being played. So, yeah, kids are going back to school. Cooler weather's hopefully on the way. It's not bad here. It's not supposed to be too bad this week, it sounds like. But, yeah, fun time of the year.
Yeah, it's a little cooler weather. I know this weekend is supposed to, I think, get up to 90 on Sunday here, but – I was just reading something. The low Tuesday night / Wednesday morning here is supposed to be 46.
Dang, that's got to be close to record August? Low.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty close to record.
Crazy, but I'm not complaining because it could easily be 105 right now.
You know what? That's good sleeping weather.
Yeah, it is good sleeping weather. It's good sleeping weather. Yeah. But before we get into the show too much, you were at Wrigley Field?
I was.
Saturday. Have a good time?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Sat through two rain delays. One was necessary where it rained pretty hard for about 20 minutes. It was only about a 30-minute delay, so it wasn't too bad. And then the second delay was pointless. You know, you saw the head of the grounds crew, which is Dan Kiermaier, Kevin Kiermaier's brother.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he's the Cubs head groundskeeper. He ran out there in between innings, showed him the radar. I saw him going like this, like it's supposed to come like this. And then so the first sprinkle, they stopped the game again and they put the tarp on. It sprinkled a little bit, stood there for 15 minutes, pulled the tarp, and they were good the rest of the day. So that was kind of annoying. And it knocked out Justin Steele after just two innings. If that delay wouldn't have happened, Steele probably would have stayed in. So that was kind of annoying. But, yeah, pretty good time. They got the dub. Yeah, had good seats. So Wrigley is my happy place.
Was that the first time this year you've been?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the first time since July of last year. I haven't been to too many.
Okay.
Here recently, which it's ironic. It felt like I went to more games when I lived 2 hours away than did. of course, I have a kid now. So
exactly. Exactly.
A little more difficult. But yeah, had a good time.
You got some a birdie or bogey for me this evening? And what's the overall tally on the year? Do you have
we
that?
Are tied at five over.
Of course we are.
So we're terrible, but it's a –
yeah, we're not good.
It's a close match. Our SEC preview is tonight, so I have an SEC question for you. What two SEC schools are tied with the most number one overall picks?
Ooh.
They are second all-time. These two teams are tied for second all-time behind USC. For most number one overall picks, each school has five of them.
Is this is including the SEC schools as of today?
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
It's the only hint you're getting.
Yep.
It's not even a hint, really, but
I just wanted clarification so I can go through my head and drive myself nuts. Yeah. So,
birdie or bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Starting after Labor Day, they will have new hours at the Arlington Public House. They will be closed Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, open from 4 to 9 on Thursday, and open from 4 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays, which Friday, really most of their weekends, they have incredible specials.
Yeah,
over the weekend. But
yeah, I do know that means no more Pizza Monday starting.
No with more Pizza Monday. Hours. So go get your pizza now.
But they will. They are having Taco Thursdays instead of Taco Tuesdays. I do know that much.
You know, I like to switch up. You know. Too many people have Taco Tuesdays, and I don't know where that originated. Really, the first person I ever heard call Taco Tuesday was LeBron James.
Yeah, yeah. 2020, he was saying all the time.
Yeah, and I know it's been a saying forever. Mainly white people like to do tacos on Tuesdays. I'm a big fan of all tacos, white people tacos, you know, traditional, authentic tacos. Just give me a taco. I'll eat it.
Hey, he's not lying, people. I've seen him eat a lot of tacos.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Yep. So, but go into Arlington Public House. Tell them Tanner Jamin Show sent you. Get some good grub.
Sir.
But, I mean, I know we hit on it earlier that you were at Wrigley on Saturday, but the MLB is getting kind of interesting.
Yeah.
There's some division races that are more interesting than others, but getting closer and closer to the playoff time.
Yeah. You know, before we talk about that, I wanted to do my jersey thing because you always ask me, see any cool jerseys?
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, I've never seen the Blue Jays play, and so I was hoping for some good ones. A lot of Vlad Jr.,
sure.
A lot of George Springer. I saw some Bo Bichette's.
Any Vernon Wells?
You know, that's the one person that I'm like, man, I really want to see some deep cuts tonight, like some Carlos Delgado, some Vernon Wells, some Brian Schneider's.
Jose Canseco.
Yeah, none of that. I saw one Whit Merrifield, which was nothing.
No Joe Carter's?
Who?
Joe Carter?
No Joe Carter's. Chris Carpenter would have been cool. I know he made his name with
Roy Halladay.
Cardinals. No Doc Halladay. None of that. I saw a lot of Vlads. It was a very disappointing.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of Blue Jays fans there too. First time they've played there since 2017. So I was hoping for some, you know, some Vernon Wells, Carlos Delgados, but they keep it current. Unfortunately, of course, the Cubs, you see every jersey known to man. Sure. A lot of Ryan Sandberg, which it was cool because it was a it was like Cancer Awareness Day. And Rhino on, I think, Wednesday last week announced he was cancer free.
Oh, great. So, I didn't see that. Great.
Yeah, fourth inning, everyone stood up. And you know that thing they hold where you put like a name on it and like that sort of thing. So we all did that. And Rhino was there and he got a big standing ovation. So that was pretty cool.
Cool.
Other than that, yeah, not a lot of cool Blue Jays jerseys that I was hoping to see.
What Cub jersey was the most worn, would you say? I know it's tough to tell, but
yeah, I honestly I didn't look that much at Cubs jerseys. Current team, saw a lot of Bellinger. That was it, though. I mean, there weren't really any Dansby. I saw one or two Nico Horners. No Suzuki's. The team just sucks. It's just Justin Steele. I saw one.
But it is interesting, like you brought up, you know, the Cubs have to be one of the Cubs, Yankees. I'm trying to think of some other franchises where you go and you could see just hundreds of different jerseys.
Right. And there were a lot of Ryan Sandbergs, a lot of like Rizzo and Bryant Bias still.
Always will be. Always will be. Still
playing, and they always will be. And Javi comes back to Wrigley for
the first. A lot of Sosas anymore. Around Wrigley?
No, not really. They have kind of, for one, they haven't invited him back.
Right, right.
Which hurts. And then, of course, they don't sell that jersey like around the stadium anymore.
Do they sell any legends around the stadium?
Sandberg. Sandberg. I'm sure there's some banks.
Yeah.
I haven't walked around.
That's too bad. That's really too bad. They should. Yeah. I mean, he should be right there with those guys.
But. He should be. His tenure ended so bad. And, of course, the steroid thing. But
right. Right.
I was talking to my dad today about his tenure there, how he quit on the team, you know, last game of the season in 2005. He wasn't very well liked in the clubhouse anyway, and he would always have this boombox just playing like Latin music. No one liked the music, none of that. And so he didn't show up the final day of the year, quit on the team, and Kerry Wood took a bat to it and just smashed that absolute tar out of it. So tenure ended bad. But, yeah, none of this stuff happened until the Ricketts got there. Like, I think if somebody else would have bought the team, maybe they would invite him back. And the Ricketts say he owes the club an apology. And I'm thinking, for what? What does he owe them an apology for? He made them a ton of money. Saved baseball, really.
Even if he did, quote-unquote, owe them an apology, they didn't own the team when he did whatever they're accusing him of. So I don't feel like that's very right.
I don't really understand.
Yeah.
Hopefully one day he'll be invited back. So he was obviously a huge part of my childhood.
Right.
Huge part of the franchise history. I mean, over 600 career homers.
I did a lot of bunny hops playing wiffle ball.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, runs. He had the bunny hop that people tried to replicate. And people still kind of do it, too. Yeah. There's a handful of guys that still do a little bit of a hop.
He kind of had the elbow out a little bit. Yep. The elbow out, kinda, yeah.
Yeah, yep. crouched over. Yep. His arms were, yeah. So,
yep.
But other than that, yeah, not too many cool jerseys that I would have
liked. That's disappointing.
Yeah.
It's all right, though.
Yeah. But around baseball, we have there's really only one team that's running away with a division right now, and that's the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes, they are
11 games up on the St. Louis Cardinals, 11 and a half up on the Cubs, 12 up on the Reds, 13 and a half up on the Pirates. There's a heck of a battle for second place in the NL Central. Yeah. But that won't get you anything. But Phillies 7 games up, Yankees, Orioles tied, Cleveland 2 games up on Minnesota, 3 up on Kansas City. Houston 4 up on Seattle. Seattle was 10 up in June, and now they're 4 back. You knew Houston.
We kind of called that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dodgers are 3 up on the NL West. Padres are 15 games over 500. Diamondbacks 13 over. Giants are at 500. But Dodgers still have a a 3-game lead on the Padres, 4 on the Diamondbacks, 10.5 on the Giants. NL East, Phillies 7 games up on the Braves. They kind of had a stranglehold on that division really all season. Mm-hmm. And they haven't played too great since the All-Star break. They've had some injury issues, but maintaining a 7-game lead on a very good Braves club that's had a multitude of injuries, including losing their third baseman, likely for the rest of the regular season with a fractured wrist that he did yesterday. Austin Riley. But we got about, let's see how many games we got left. Cubs are 61-64. They have about 37 games left. The Cubs do, and they've got to make up 5.5 in the wild card, which includes jumping 4 teams, which is, that's unlikely. that's all I can say. It's incredibly unlikely. They really can't afford to just take 2 of 3 against teams like the Blue Jays. I mean, they won lose 1-0 yesterday. Now they have the Tigers coming to town. Then they go to Miami and to Pittsburgh. So you're really reaching time where you got to start sweeping series.
Yep.
Because I think I saw if they win every single series the rest of the year but don't sweep any, they would finish about 8 to 10 games over 500, and that's not going to do it. That's
brutal.
Not going to get them in. They've got to clean up on these bad teams. I think the Tigers have the exact same record as the Cubs. So mediocre against mediocre there. They do have the exact same record.
And they don't play the White Sox anymore.
Unfortunately, they do not play
White Sox anymore. And, you know, I know we've talked about the White Sox a lot on this podcast and just how awful they are. But it is just mind-blowing just to look at it on paper or in this instance, a cell phone. 30-95 and 42.5 games out of your division.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
The most losses in history are the New York Mets. They lost, I believe it was 119. So, I mean, White Sox are only 24 away from that. Say there's 36 games left. Let's see. Yeah, 37 games left. They go 13-24 and they tie that. And that's a better win.
I don't see them winning 10 more games and getting to 40.
Yeah.
I think they'll get at least 35. I think they win 5 more somewhere in there. But I don't know. After that, I don't know.
That's pretty bad. 37 games left. Man, I don't even know if they can go 5-22.
I know. It's just bad. It's awful.
So much for the maybe Grady Sizemore will spark him a little bit. He's 2-6 since he took over. Which is a better
shout out to our buddy Aaron Lynch. You know, there's still types of fans like him that like to watch the pregame and the postgame. So
yeah, you know, if the Cubs were this bad, I'd honestly probably still watch them because I've always watched them.
It's in your blood. It's engraved in your blood.
When the Cubs 2015 through 2020, when they were good, I still didn't watch pre and postgame stuff. I just that's never been part of my routine, but
I can't say much. I was listening to post pregame before the Broncos preseason game last night, so I can't say too much. But you know, in my defense, including preseason, they play 20 times a year.
Yes, but say it's like late December, they're 2-3 13. I don't know if you'll be tuning in to much pregame or postgame. Maybe you would.
I don't know. To give Lynch credit, you do, if you like whoever's on the broadcast on TV or radio, that's what you're tuning in for, really. So it's their analysis. So.
Sure.
I mean, that's why like I like
and it's, the guy. It's Ozzie Guillen. So, and he's. Yeah, the White Sox is Ozzie Guillen, so he's going to be he's a firecracker anyway, and he's been all over him all season. So yeah, I'm sure it's been very entertaining.
Yeah, fair enough. But if you had to predict the playoffs right now on August 19th, who's getting in?
I know teams I'm rooting for to get in. Obviously, Brewers got that thing on lock. I will say the Phillies got that thing on lock. Dodgers will win the West. And then I think it's pretty cut and dry in the National League. I think the Braves get in as the first wild card. Padres second. Diamondbacks third. Because, the Diamondbacks are 2.5 – or no, it's Atlanta now. They're 2 up on the Mets. I just feel like they hold that. Mm-hmm. And then the American League, it's a little murkier, I should say. I think Baltimore ultimately wins the AL East. I think they're – a little better than the New York Yankees. I know they're right there. Yankees had a tough one last night where they blew the lead in the ninth and then lost in extra innings.
Yep, and Williamsport. Yep.
Yeah. And Minnesota's good and Cleveland's good and Kansas City's good too. I'm rooting for Kansas City to get in. I'm rooting for them to win that division. I saw Cleveland sweep the Cubs over the weekend or last week, and then over the weekend they get swept by the Milwaukee Brewers. And then I saw the Cubs take 2 or 3 from the Twins 2 weeks ago, and then now they've been on a tear since then. So it's hard to pick against the current division leaders, but I'm going to say the Twins win that division because I think Cleveland's going to start waking up a little bit. They had the best record in baseball previously a few days ago, and now since they got swept. But I think the Royals get a wild card spot. Houston wins the AL West. And if Seattle does not make the playoffs, they might have to start thinking about cleaning house. But the team who finishes second in the Central, I say, gets one of the wild card spots. I think the Royals finish third, although they're only a game behind Minnesota, and they get a wild card spot. And then I think the Boston Red Sox get that final one, which is pretty surprising because I think we both had them finishing last in the AL East, and they've kind of a surprise. Surprise team in the American League, but it's a fun time for baseball. I mean, it's the dog days of August where the players are all. I heard Jason Worth on a pod. I think it was part of my take the other day. He's talking about it's August because he was talking about when Jonathan Papelbon and Bryce Harper got into it. Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember it. Yeah.
Harper didn't run out of pop-up, which was an easy play. And Papelbon, who had just gotten there like 2 weeks before, went at him. And Harper kind of pinned him up against the wall and started throwing punches and stuff. And worse, you're sitting here in August. It's 100 degrees in D.C. you're banged up. No one likes each other at this point of the season. You're just hoping to get to the finish line. And that year we were terrible, so everyone was just mad anyways. So you start seeing teams blow up a little bit and, it'll be interesting, but once September hits, the weather gets a little cooler. The races start getting real tight and, that's when it gets fun. But, as of right now, it's kind of a sluggish sort of time.
Yep. Sure is. Anything else you want to talk about around Major League Baseball?
Nothing baseball wise. No.
Nothing baseball wise. All righty. Alrighty.
Do you want to get educated before we do anything else?
Yep, I need it.
On this day in 1909, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway opens in Speedway, Indiana, home of the Indy 500.
Yep, been there a couple times myself. Pretty neat place. You ever been there?
No.
Pretty neat place. Pretty neat place. Nope. It's amazing how big it is there.
Yeah. I've been past Daytona. I've never been past Indianapolis. But, On this day in 1941, baseball umpire Jocko Conlin ejects Pirate manager Frankie Frisch for coming out on field holding an umbrella to get the game rained out. So I don't know what the situation was there, but that's kind of funny. On this day in, let's see. 1957, the New York Baseball Giants board of directors vote 8-1 to move their baseball franchise to San Francisco in 1958.
There's a little, that's, I wouldn't guess it was that far, that long ago. Okay.
Yeah. On this day in 1969, Chicago Cubs pitcher Ken Holtzman, no hits, visiting Atlanta Braves 3-0 at Wrigley Field. My grandfather always talks about how he was there.
Yeah, I've heard you mention that a couple times on the podcast. So that's pretty cool. That seems to come around on this day, or something kind of related to that event comes around quite often.
On this day in 1984, who won PGA Championship men's golf?
I knew these PGA Championships were coming. 84. Let's go with Tom Watson.
Who'd you guess?
Tom Watson. Can you hear me, Josh?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
All right. My internet has been trash here lately, so I apologize.
Can you hear me?
Was Lee Trevino. Did you guess Lee Trevino?
I guess Tom Watson.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Now I've had you the whole time.
It was Lee Trevino.
Okay.
Yeah. We're lucky I didn't hit in stream again this week.
Yeah, please don't do that.
On this day in 2001, who won the PGA Championship men's golf?
Tiger Woods.
It was David Toms.
Ah, Tiger was 2000. Yep. That's right. Damn.
That is going to do it for On This Day this week.
Not near as many PGA championships as I thought or was hoping. Because I knew I was going to probably get some wrong, so I wanted to try to at least go even there. But over two. Good job, Tanner. That is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana Grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. Get your sign orders in. I'm telling you, makes the perfect Christmas gift for the sports fan in your family, the sports friend that's a big sports fan that you got, military, active military, veterans, you name it, that can make it out of wood. So let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you. You get 15% off your first sign order. NFL preseason. I know last week you said you had not watched any. Did you watch any this past week?
Negative.
Okay. All right. Did you watch Hard Knocks?
No.
Okay.
I find myself rooting, liking the team that's on Hard Knocks, so it's been hard to stomach the past couple years.
Yeah, you would. I don't think you would find that the case this year. But so far through two episodes has been pretty good. Of course, episode one was Caleb Williams' show in Eberflus. Episode two more featured Roman Dunze, Keenan Allen, and then Simone Biles' husband, which I can't think of his name right now off the top of my head. So, yeah.
Jonathan Owens.
Jonathan Owens. Thank you. It's been fine. I mean, I've seen better seasons so far through two episodes, but I've seen worse so far through two episodes. So they always do. They do a good job. The NFL does a good job with this. And the in-season division one will be interesting with AFC North this year. I'm guessing I'm lagging on your end. I don't think I have Josh at all right now.
Yeah, you're lagging pretty bad on my end. It's got to be me though, because my internet was having bad issues. I'm gonna get out and come back in and see if that helps.
Okay, click leave studio.
I have it all for the button. All right.
Okay. So while Josh tries to figure out his internet, yes, I have watched some preseason. Of course, I watched both Bronco games. I was at their week one game at Indianapolis. Watched last night's game against Green Bay, which they won by a score of 27-2. Now, I will preface this by saying Green Bay did not play any of their starters. So it was all backups, but still, you got to perform well against the talent that's out there. And they took care of them 27-2, which if that was a regular season game, it would have been the first time in NFL history that was the final score of a game. But since it's preseason, they don't keep those things in the record books. You good now, J-Man?
Did you say something about a score origami?
Yeah, kind of. I said last night's final score between the Broncos and the Packers was 27-2. And if that was in the regular season, it would have been the first regular season game with that final score. Yep.
Huh.
Yep. So
that's interesting.
But like I said, the Packers didn't play any of their starters. So the Broncos should have taken care of business like they did. But still, at least they didn't get behind like 10-0 or something, the Green Bay's second and third string guys. And it sounded like they played pretty good against Green Bay's first string in their joint practice on Friday. So I thought Bo Nix played well again. I keep waiting for Sean Payton just to name him the starter. Really not sure what he's waiting for. I think everybody knows his job, so I don't know what's going on there. Maybe he'll announce it sometime this week, because I want them to go ahead and announce him as a starter and don't play him against Arizona this weekend, because there's no reason to take a chance of getting him injured. So other than that, I've watched highlights here and there. I watched some of the Steelers the other night. I want to see Russell Wilson and Justin Fields play.
Right.
I wasn't real impressed by either one of them. I know Russell Wilson took 3 sacks, which I think that was the biggest thing that irked Sean Payton last year, was he took 30 sacks last year. And, you know, some of that's on the offensive line, but there's other times the offensive line held their protection just fine, but he's running around trying to make a play. So that's going to be interesting. I still think Russell starts the season for Pittsburgh, but I wouldn't be shocked if Justin Fields eventually ends up replacing Russell Wilson, even in the early part of the season, because they have both guys under 1-year contracts. So there's really nothing they can really lose. It looks like I lost Josh again, trying to reconnect. Bears looked good in week 2. Preseason took care of the Bengals. I think it was 27-3 was the final there. Colts took care of the Cardinals. Colts did not play Anthony Richardson, which is fine. I mean, once again, you just want to manage these guys. 3 preseason games instead of 4. You know, the third and final preseason game, I think, is where it gets interesting to watch, because you're really seeing those guys fighting for the final roster spots. You know, especially guys who were playing on special teams, for instance. Sometimes it comes down to, for instance, like a defensive back making a play on the ball or two, getting an interception or two here or there. Sometimes that's the difference between making the team or not. So that's what I like to watch about these third and final preseason games, just the guys battling out to make the final few roster spots or maybe solidify themselves on the practice squad. We got you now. All right.
I got none of that, but
that's all right.
I kind of just a notarized letter for me.
I kind of just rambled on about preseason a little bit here and there. So, you know, we got to start paying attention because you and I had our fantasy draft last night. So now we really got to start paying attention to different guys around the league. And I'm rookie heavy. I'm putting a lot of faith in four different rookies to perform pretty well in their first season. And that might be a major mistake, but we'll see.
It also might be really good too, because sometimes you see rookies burst onto the scene, but like I love taking rookie wide receivers where there's not really a veteran guy there that would challenge them
right.
as far as targets go. So I know you took a rookie wide receiver, didn't you?
I took two of them. I took Marvin Harrison Jr. with my first pick, and I took Rome Odunze with my fourth round pick.
That's right.
Which I know Rome's got DJ Moore.
Yeah, and I think that'll
Keenan Allen, but Marvin's got nobody else. Kyler's going to be thrown to him a lot. So.
And supposedly Keenan Allen showed up at 250 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he looked heavier on Hard Knocks. So, yeah, he definitely looked heavier. Actually, in the Hard Knocks, Johnson was defending him one-on-one all practice, and Keenan, I think, only got one catch against them when they were featuring him. So, you know, Jalen Johnson, I believe, is his name. So. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So I don't have a whole lot other than just ready to get this week done and over with for the preseason. And so we can move on towards week one, starting in 2 weeks for the NFL.
Yeah.
Cause next week on the pod will be our Big Ten preview. And then the week after that will be our NFL preview, along with what happened in college football week one, week two picks. Because, that's another thing I was thinking about this morning. Yeah, it's about time to start picking games every week, even though you usually smoke me in that. But I'm out for revenge this year.
It's going to be interesting come Big Ten time when we're doing, 18 games we have to pick.
Not 18 games, 9 games.
Non-conference.
Oh, you're right.
First week.
You're right. Crap, you're right. I didn't Pretty think sure. about that. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I was thinking conference games. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Good math there, Tanner. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah that's a Yeah. That will be interesting. So, well, tonight is our SEC conference preview show. And with that, I got a pick six segment ready for you. I went through and just picked six, I guess, legendary quarterbacks. They can be legendary as far as SEC is concerned, or maybe just the school they represent. Starting with Tim Tebow.
Timmy, terrible baseball player. Really good college football player, though. And he had a winning quality about him, and that's what we saw in Denver during that incredible run that the Dolphins started for him. Man, could you imagine the amount of money he'd be making if NIL was a thing in 08?
He would be one of the top, if not the top, guy of all time.
Ever. Yeah.
Yep. He still leads the SEC in all-time rushing touchdowns. He's tied for overall touchdowns in SEC history. So, he was a good one. He was just a bona fide definition of a winner. And, man, I do miss the Tim Tebow report in the early days of the Tan and J-Man show when he was trying to make the major leagues in the Mets farm system. I miss those days.
Yeah, he was bad. It rubbed me the wrong way.
Yep. Eli Manning, Ole Miss.
Man, people don't talk about him kind of screwing San Diego over, although San Diego ended up being all right. But that's a wrong move, in my opinion, to not put the hat on and request a trade. I know Elway did. Elway was the first guy that I remembered. Well, we weren't alive then, but Elway did it. Eli did it. Eli's going to be a Hall of Famer, and he won two Super Bowls. I'll just say that. That's what he did. I don't think he was Hall of Fame level good. He just got hot at the right time in two playoffs.
You remember anything about him at Ole Miss at all?
Not really.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. I just remember him being a stud, but Ole Miss was good, but they weren't good enough to get him in the Heisman conversation or anything usually.
Yeah.
So, how about you'll know this guy better as the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier.
Steve, South Carolina, he had a good thing going there, and then he just couldn't sustain it very well. He had a cup of coffee with the he was with Washington, right, in the NFL.
Yep.
For
about two, 3
didn't
years.
Do a very good job there. He was a character, won a lot of football games. Obviously, a really good quarterback as well.
Wasn't his Washington stint in between Florida and South Carolina?
Yes. Yeah, I think South Carolina hired him from Washington.
Yeah,
after he got fired.
I believe you're right. I just remember that year when he was the coach of the then Redskins. They had the different helmets during his era. They had the maroon ones with the spear.
That's right.
Not the Redskin logo itself. So, yep. Oh, somebody flying past your house there. Goodness gracious.
It's been a nightmare here tonight.
Goodness. How about the old Joe Namath?
Oh, the worst player in the Hall of Fame. Threw more interceptions than touchdown. He was just a Hollywood Joe out of Bama. And he won a Super Bowl as a heavy, heavy underdog, and that's the only reason why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Try to kiss Susie Colbert.
Yeah,
on
I was
going to
say, keep the women away from him.
Man, that was awkward. All right, a few more here. How about Tim Couch, Kentucky's own?
Yeah, number one overall pick, Cleveland Browns. I think did he lead him to the playoffs in 2000? I know he was a quarterback there.
There was one year in the early 2000s they got there, but Kelly Holcomb was their quarterback.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, Tim was a bust. He's not known as a – it's probably because he didn't have a Peyton Manning taken after him, but he's not known as big of a bust as a Ryan Leaf, although he was every bit as bad as a guy like that. But, he was obviously really good at Kentucky, and he's just putting into an impossible situation in Cleveland.
And lastly for this week's pick six, Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I remember he was getting Heisman buzz after the first, 6 weeks or so at Mississippi State,
number one in the country.
Yeah, and then they kind of tailed off, lost a few games, and obviously he's had a good NFL career. But just seems like one of those guys that can get you to the playoffs, but he's not going to do a whole lot. He's never going to win a Super Bowl there, in my opinion. It's probably the year they do it. But, solid NFL quarterback, not worth – which no quarterback who's gotten the money here is worth $200 million, but Dak is definitely one of them.
Dak's younger than us. He's 31 years old.
Yeah.
That makes me feel good about myself.
Yeah.
And that is this week's Pick 6 segment, which is brought to you by, like as every week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. Performer Print 2 Group Promo – all right, restart. I had a cough coming on, and that threw me off. Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further if you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815, or you can email her at barbara.vansweinsberg@proforma.com. They have a lot of things to choose from. Better believe it. Their website's kind of overwhelming in a good way. All right. We gave ourselves a little more time than we have been the last few weeks on these conference previews. Yeah. That was by design. So, Jamie, go ahead. Sorry.
We got about a minute per team
yes,
here.
So, yes. I'm guessing we're in agreement to who we think's going to win the Southeastern Conference.
I think it'll be Georgia.
I think so too.
Yeah. Carson Beck, the top four teams all have a quarterback that's a potential Heisman candidate. Carson Beck, potential Heisman, and number one overall pick. They picked up transfer running back Trevor Etienne from Florida, Travis's bro. And defense under Kirby Smart is always loaded. They could lose 9 guys to the NFL, and it's just they'll only give up about 15 points a game again. So I think they'll be very, very good.
Yep, Carson Beck was my Heisman favorite to win. That was one of my 24 bowl predictions for 2024. And you know what I love about one thing I do like about the transfer portal is like Purdue took four, I think, guys from Georgia.
Yeah.
They'll probably get all start for Purdue. I'm like, I'll take their reserves that don't start all day long because it's better than anything Purdue can usually recruit. So we'll see if they play well for Purdue or not. But yeah, Kirby Smart, man, he's got figured out down there. Back to back national champions. They'll be right in the mix for number three. Dynasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were always one of the schools growing up. Clemson was the same way for me.
Yeah.
Very good, couldn't get over the hump. I couldn't take them seriously as a national championship contender. Now those two have really flipped the script last decade.
Yeah. Once they finally got that first one, felt like they were going to win multiple more, and they did.
Yep. So. Well, and Georgia's an amazing play by Tua away from having another one.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep.
So,
who do you got finishing runner-up, losing to them in the SEC championship?
I have Alabama.
I have Bama number three.
Okay. I know they lost old Nick Saban. Kalen DeBoer is there now. I think we'll see a much more, a significantly different style of offense than we're used to seeing under Nick Saban, where they just pound the rock. I know they've had some good quarterback play here the past couple of years with Tua and Mac Jones and even Jalen Milroe, who is a potential Heisman guy.
Jalen Hurts was good for him too.
And Hurts too, before he transferred to Oklahoma. Defense is always good. They had three guys on the first team all SEC preseason on defense. Massive, maybe the biggest shoes to fill of any coach outside of maybe ever. I mean, in college football, I would say that's the biggest shoes you could possibly fill, is what Kalen DeBoer is having to deal with.
Yeah, new coordinators there as well. Kane Womack on the defense side of the ball. A lot of IU fans might be closet Alabama fans this year because there's a lot of former IU coaching staff ties on this Alabama Crimson Tide staff. So, but yeah, they're going to be good.
They'd be very smart to just jump on the Bama bandwagon altogether.
They would.
Yeah.
But yeah, they'll be good. They'll be good. It is crazy to see them without Saban. But I think Saban's going to be pretty interesting on TV.
Yeah. So it'll be pretty funny. Yeah.
Yep. So, who do you got finishing number three?
I have Texas.
All right, I got Texas number four.
Okay, all right. Quinn Ewers, Heisman candidate, as I said, multiple guys here. They got three transfer wide receivers, Bond from Bama, Golden from Houston, and Bolden from Oregon State. All expected to put up huge numbers. Four of their projected starters on defense are transfers. I'm very interested to see how they match up in the SEC. It might take them a little while, although this Texas team is set up to be pretty good.
Yep. They got tight end from Alabama too. Mm-hmm. And Amari Niblack. So yeah, they're going to be good. I mean, the running back CJ Baxter is returning. The line's amongst the best in college football. Mm-hmm. Four starters out of five returning on the offensive line, including left tackle Kelvin Banks. Sarkisian finally got over the hump last year, winning 12 games. They literally were back. I mean, I know years ago, Sam Ellinger, after winning the Sugar Bowl, said, "We're back." Well, they weren't, but now they are back. And I know we say this a lot, that we don't like when people say college football is better when X is good. But Texas, you could fill them right in on that blank.
Yeah.
And they are a traditional power. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, a lot of tradition there. But I got them finishing fourth. Good. So – I'm guessing who you have fourth. I might have a runner-up.
Ole Miss.
Okay. Rebels.
Jackson Dart, another potential Heisman candidate. They did lose Quinshon Judkins to Ohio State, but have Ulysses Bentley, the fourth, 5.7 yards per carry last year. Both starting wide receivers, Watkins and Harris, are back. Also, they got a transfer from South Carolina, Antoine Wells, who had 928 yards in 22. Defense is kind of middle of the pack. Six of their projected starters are transfers. But old Lane Kiffin, he was ahead of his time. He was hired too soon, I would say, by a bunch of guys. And now he's a good football coach.
Yeah, and I think he's found his fit there. I don't really see him leaving. He's probably had opportunities the last few years for a few other jobs.
Right.
I mean, just the fact that he wasn't real interested in Alabama kind of tells you what you need to know down there if you're a fan of – the old Miss Rebels there in Oxford, Mississippi. So, yeah, they're definitely I remember at one time when them and Mississippi State were always battling out for who was the better school in the state. Mm-hmm. Now one is head and shoulders better than the other.
Yeah. Yeah, significantly so.
Who do you got number five?
I have Louisiana State.
Me too. Brian Kelly and his family. And you know, I will say this about Brian Kelly. We do not like him. We don't think he's a good human being. He is a good football coach. Yeah. They've won 10 games back-to-back seasons. But now it feels like the pressure's ramped up for the Zell's team. Yep.
Yeah, year three, I'm sure it will feel like top four or bust in the SEC this year. They did lose Jaden Daniels to the NFL, had 40 passing touchdowns, and he was the team's number one rusher last year, who was just named starter of the Washington Commanders today.
Yes.
Garrett Neusmeyer, who was a pretty solid backup behind Jaden Daniels, will be the starter. Got a transfer wide receiver from Liberty, C.J. Daniels, who had over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns last year. They had a below-average defense last season, so they need to make significant improvement on that side of the ball in order to contend for an SEC title.
Yeah, a lot of staff changes there for Brian Kelly. He lost his offensive coordinator, Mike Dimbrock. He's going to Notre Dame. He is at Notre Dame now, as Notre Dame's new OC. So he promoted Joe Sloan to be the play caller on defense side of the ball, though. That's the defense they struggled really bad last year for an LSU defense, I should say. He landed Blake Baker from Missouri to call plays and former Texas assistant Bo Davis to coach the defensive line. So they're thinking big things on the defense side of the ball down there in Baton Rouge. So because that defense gave up 33 points and 6.3 yards a snap in SEC play.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah,
bad.
Not good. Not good. So who you got number six?
Are you from Tennessee? Because you're the only 10 I see.
Good one.
I remember you wearing that shirt in high school. All the time.
Middle school.
I remember in high school.
It was middle school.
they lost Joe Milton to the New England Patriots. Their projected starting quarterback. High school. I very vividly remember you wearing it in high school.
That's pretty sad. I very vividly remember you wearing something.
I don't know why it just stuck in my brain.
Yeah.
Their projected starting quarterback is redshirt freshman Nico Iamaliva, who was the number two overall player in the class of 23. Defense led by James Pierce, 10 sacks. Big year for Josh Heupel and the boys.
Yeah, Nico won the Heisman Trophy in my third year, my Purdue dynasty. But I did play him in the playoffs. I picked him off three times, but dude can throw like 80 in the air. It was terrifying.
His last name is perfect for the transfer portal. I am Oliva.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You can do some NIL stuff with that.
Oh, well, I'm sure.
Yeah, Heupel's got a good thing going down there in Knoxville. Yeah. But this is just where I see Tennessee. Like, they can be really good and still fifth or sixth in the SEC. Yeah. I don't see them being a playoff team.
Yeah, I don't ever see them being in that upper echelon with teams like Georgia, Bama, even LSU.
You know, they went 9-4 last year. They won 11 games the previous year. So, yeah. About nine wins again. Sounds about right. Yeah. So, we got number seven.
I have Missouri.
I got Missouri as well. When's that old football rivalry get ramped up again between them and Illinois?
I want to say it's next season or 2026.
Okay.
Brady Cook, 29 total touchdowns last year. They lost Cody Schrader's 1,600 yards, 14 touchdowns on the ground, but picked up transfer Marcus Carroll from Georgia State, 1,350 yards and 13 touchdowns last year. Top wide receiver in the SEC, Luther Burden. He returns 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns last year. Drinkwitz, I think that's his name.
Eli.
Eli is his first
Drinkwitz.
Name. Yeah. He's done a pretty good job there.
Yeah, I mean, last year they went 11-2. They were number 8 in the nation. Do you remember they beat Ohio State in the bowl game? They were 17-19 under his tenure after 3 years before last year. So they really came on, surprised everybody. But this is a big year for them to prove they're not a one-hit wonder. Like you said, I'm not worried about them on offense, but I'm worried about them on defense because, like I mentioned with LSU, they have Blake Baker now, who was their defense coordinator. He left. Excuse me. They're missing him now. He went to LSU. And his defense last year only gave up 20.8 points per game. And only 5 starters back from that defense. So a lot of new faces there in Columbia.
Yeah.
Who do you got number 8?
I have Oklahoma.
I got the Sooners as well. When's the last time somebody's had them finish an eighth in a conference
preview? That's a good question. Losing Dylan Gabriel to Oregon kills them. They did get transferred from Purdue, Deion Burks, though. So
Yep. He was Purdue's number one, but he's probably fits in better as like a number three out of Oklahoma.
Defense led by Danny Stutzman, Billy Bowman. Just middle of the pack.
Yep. Yeah, Brett Venables, I still don't really know what to think about him. I mean, he did go from 6 wins year 1 to 10 last year. But I don't know if they're going to win 10 games this year. I don't see it.
Yeah.
So. Yep. We got number 9.
I have the Auburn Tigers.
I got the Texas A&M Aggies.
Auburn 6-7 in Hugh Freeze's first year. Peyton Thorne returns. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, honestly.
Old Spartan.
Three new guys are their projected wide receivers, led by Robert Lewis from Georgia State. And they have Jarquez Hunter was their running back, 900 yards rushing last year. Auburn hasn't been that good here recently.
Yeah, new Divas coordinator is DJ Durkin, Maryland head coach. They did not end last year well. They lost to New Mexico State, then lost the heartbreaker to Alabama, and then they lost to Maryland in Music City.
Oh, man, that Alabama one was bad.
Yeah, so that was bad for Auburn, but they'll be talented, but we'll see. I don't. That's why I got them 10th. I don't see them finishing above that.
Yeah.
Who do you got 10th?
I have Texas A&M finishing.
All right, that's where I got 9th. Yeah. Mike Elko, new coach. Mm-hmm. Talked about him a few weeks ago because season opens up, a college game day at home at College Station against Notre Dame. He comes over from Duke. Duke was 5-18 prior to Elko's arrival there. So
And
then they went 16-9, 2 years under Elko. So
Connor Wiegman was solid as a freshman last year, quarterback, and they need him to be very good if they want to finish in the top half. Could be a rebuilding season.
Wiegman got hurt. He didn't play much last year. Yeah, he missed most of the 2023 season last year. Yeah, so they should be a lot better with him back. But Reuben Owens is back. I remember he was a big deal. He was a 5-star commit to Louisville. And Louisville was all about him, but then he flipped last year at the last minute, went to A&M. He also got hurt last year. So Musa Muhammad III.
Oh, man.
The number one target.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yep. On defense side of the ball, Aggies only gave up 23.1 points per game last year, but they struggled against teams with a winning record, allowing 34.2 points per game in those games. Strength of the group rests up front. Purdue transfer Nick Scorton should raise havoc. I mean, he raised havoc at Purdue, but I still wouldn't doubt to see his numbers go down a little bit. I think, part of Ryan Walter's system is those edges can eat the quarterback, and that's what he did last year. But I look for him to potentially be a first-round draft pick from A&M. So A&M is not a Purdue fan's favorite program. They took him and tight end Garrett Miller away from Purdue. So two Texas boys there. But a lot of talent there, just a lot of gaps to fill in there for Elko in his first year. But big week one against Notre Dame.
I have Kentucky finishing 11th.
I do too.
Disappointing year last year, 7-6. They have transfers all over the offense. Brock Vandegrift is projected quarterback who backed up Beck at Georgia. Demontre Trayanum, who's running back from Ohio State, was their backup last year. Had a pretty good year backing up there. And wide receiver Jay Macklin from North Texas had over 1,000 yards and 11 tutties. So with transfer portal and NIL, it might be a little difficult for Kentucky football to kind of gain some ground on these teams.
Yeah, new offensive coordinator coming over from Boise State, Bush Hamden. Hopefully he can get them going a little bit because he led Boise State's offense at 32.1 points per game last year as their signal caller. I'm looking at their schedule. They got a lot of swing games that are at home. That might help them. In swing games, I'm considering South Carolina, Auburn, and Louisville. That's three big swing games if they want to make postseason. So having those all at home should help.
Yeah. I have Florida finishing 12th.
I got the Gators as well.
I saw a list today from Bet Online that had Billy Napier as the highest odds to be the first head coach fired. Huge year. They fired Dan Mullen after he won 10 games a bunch of years,
When they fired, what was his face? Meckling.
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't great, he still got him to two SEC championships.
Yeah.
Fired him, and good old Napier here is 11-14 to start his career in Gainesville.
Terrible. Yeah. If they finish under 500, he's gone, yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah.
Graham Mertz is back. Not sure if that's a good or bad thing. Their top running back returns. They got a couple transfer wide receivers, Badger and DK. Defense was bad last year, 27 points a game. So
gave up 33.6 points per game in SEC
play. Yeah.
Not going to win games.
So could be rough once again, and I think Napier's done.
Yep, me too.
I have South Carolina finishing 13th.
I got them 14th.
Shane Beamer was on that list as well as one of the highest odds. Redshirt freshman Lenora Sellers, projected quarterback. Transfer running back Raheem Sanders from Arkansas had 1,400 yards, 10 touchdowns in 2022, dealt with injuries last season.
Nicknamed Rocket Sanders.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
They shouldn't be very good, honestly.
No, no. And they lost KJ Jefferson to UCF, so that's going to hurt.
So
who you got 14th?
Arkansas. I got huge them 13th. Year, again, Sam Pittman, who has
11-14 record.
Yeah. KJ Jefferson played there at Arkansas.
He did. He did.
South
yep.
Carolina. South Carolina was that guy from Oklahoma. Was his name. What the heck was his name? Spencer Rattler.
Yep. Yep. You're right.
But yeah, Jefferson left to go to Central Florida.
UCF. Yep.
Taylen Green from Boise's projected starter threw 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions last year. So it's not looking good this year for Arkansas. And I think Pittman's probably gone too.
Pittman's 4-12 in SEC games. So
yeah, that's not going to get her done.
No.
So
what do you expect when you hire an offensive line coach as your head coach?
I mean, offensive line
coach. He was
at
Georgia.
Could be a really good head coach. They guys got to surround themselves with a really good staff.
Yeah, Sean Clark does a good job at Appalachian State, and he was awful.
And Arkansas is a really tough SEC job, too.
Yeah, it is.
I know they had some good success under Houston Nutt, as well as
So what you're saying is they're going to turn into more of a basketball school with Calipari now.
I think so. Honestly, their basketball program has been a little better here the past 10
years. You got Jerry Jones in your back pocket and John Daly.
I know.
With the NIL.
Yeah. Mississippi State, I got finishing 15th.
Yep, me too.
New coach Jeff Lebby, who was offensive coordinator at Oklahoma. It'll be a rebuilding year. Transfers all over. 12
Only
of the
two starters coming back.
Yeah. 12 of the 22 projected starters are transfers, led by quarterback Blake Shapen. So could be a rough one down there, Mississippi State.
Yeah, the cowbells aren't going to be ringing down there in Starksville too often, I don't think.
No.
And lastly,
Vandy's head coach Clark Shea was also on that list of potential guys to be fired early. That's a really tough job with the NIL conference realignment.
He's 0-8 in conference play the last 2 years. Yeah,
they
9-27 overall.
2-10 last year when they were having stadium renovations where they literally had like a. I don't know, some sort of machine holding up a jumbotron and it was swaying in the wind. It was so bad.
Really bad.
I don't see them being much better than 2-10 this year either.
They'll never do anything to SEC. They weren't going to anyways before the transfer portal in NIL era. But now factor those in and diminishes it even more.
So. Yeah. All right, we survived. I survived the technical difficulties with my internet, and I'm very happy for that. But
got through one stream file this week, not two.
Although I had to jump off a few times. So maybe next week will be a better week for us because it's been a little rough for the J-Man in particular. Can you name the two teams that are tied for second or most number one overall picks?
Two teams that are tied for the most number one overall picks
in the SEC.
Let's go with, I started the music way too early. Let's go with Alabama.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you you're right.
I know. I'm trying to think. I'm going with the newcomer. I'm going with Texas.
You were wrong on both accounts, my friend.
Awesome.
Georgia with 5. They had Trayvon Walker and Matthew Stafford, and then the other three are from 1953 and older.
That's why I wouldn't got that.
And then you asked the question, or I mean, you took Texas, Oklahoma. But it's Oklahoma. Yep. Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Bradford, Billy Sims, Leroy Salmon.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm mad at myself. I am the worst. I'm 6 over par, and I'm calling it night.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at her next Monday with our Big Ten preview, and we get to pick some games next week, so that'll be fun. Have a fantastic week, everybody.